Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to spend time in two different places in the Scripture this morning. One is John chapter 7, well actually Luke 11 mostly. We'll check out a verse in John 7, but Luke 11 and Isaiah 55, those are really the predominant passages that we're going to spend time in this morning. There'll be some, maybe another reference or two, but Luke 11, John, and Isaiah 55. I will read from John 7, but primarily the other chapters. John chapter 7, verse 37, It gives you this setting that on the last day of the feast, that great day, Jesus stood up and cried out. Now, this is what Jesus says. He says, if anyone thirsts or is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus is, of course, been prophesied about, that he's the Messiah, one of the messianic prophets, or Isaiah 55. We're going to look there in a moment and work our way through that. But Jesus here is making a reference about who he is. And Isaiah is telling about getting a drink, and those who are thirsty can come and buy, and you know, it really doesn't cost you anything to drink. And now it was about Jesus coming, this prophecy. And now Jesus in John 7, of course, he's here and he says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. It's interesting that we have to come and drink first so that water flows out of us. I mean, these are two very significant principles in what Jesus is saying. He's saying, come and drink. You believe in me, come and drink, and then out from you will flow rivers of living water. For those who, you know, we've been in the church, we call ourselves Christian, you know, especially in the evangelical world, and even maybe more so in a charismatic world, we're really focused on, you know, God using us and God flowing out of us and his spirit flowing out of our life and what we do and what we say. And the thing is, we can't skip step one. We've got to come and drink and continually drink, and like the scripture says, continually be filled with the Spirit. What I want to suggest to you this morning is the spiritual condition that I am in and the spiritual condition or state that you find yourself in. If there is something that is lacking or something that is lean, I want you to know that that has nothing to do with God's fault. It's my fault where I'm at. Look at the person next to you and say, the state I'm in is my fault. He says, who's ever thirsty, come to him and drink. Rivers of living water will flow from us. We have to drink first. And the measure of how we drink and how often we drink and how full we stay, there is a correlation of how this river of living water, and Jesus talking about the Spirit of God coming out from our life. Our diligence, our self-discipline. It's, you know, it's so easy to drink when you know, you go away to a conference. You go away for a couple of days or a day, and you go to a conference, and you leave your familiar surroundings, and, you know, you go into the session, and you actually turn your cell phone off, which you never do anywhere else. And you take these steps to go and be a part of a conference and go out of town. It's kind of exciting, and you hear some powerful speakers because, you know, you never hear one on Sunday. And I heard that, Pat. And, you know, you got these probably somewhat famous or worship teams of notoriety or whatever, and you know, you do a lot of things to create this thirst and expectancy, and you come and you drink, and it's great. Was some responsibility on the person delivering the word? Yes. Was some responsibility of the worship team and how that went? Yes. Were you dependent upon the Lord? Obviously, He has to show up and do something, but a lot of it has to be our responsibility. Because you can also go to a conference and say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to participate. I'm wiped out. I'm tired. I'm whatever, whatever, whatever. Or I've got so much of me tangled up in the world, God would never have me. Or I should know better, and I haven't done better. And so I want you to know a lot of the responsibility of where we are at spiritually has very little to do with blaming God. Now turn to the person next to you and say, it's your responsibility. God came to rescue. God came to seek the lost. He came to heal the sick. There's nothing wrong with the great physician. There's nothing wrong with the champion or the rescuer. If there are limitations that are happening, a lot of them have to do, and most of them have to do with me. Listen, let's put this in a physical human realm. Jesus told stories a lot like this, and they had spiritual principle. I'm just going to share something from my own life. My physical condition, not just the shell. I mean, you know, we can't maybe change what this looks like naturally. But, you know, the condition of our body, our weight, whether plus or minus. How well we can breathe going up the stairs. Or do we have to take a break halfway? The condition. Yeah, there are some genetic things that we can fight. Yeah, I get it. There's some variables like disease and things like that. But the general health and condition of where I'm at in my life is my fault. Or my credit. Okay? Those of you who have been around here for a while, you know that May 1st of 2014, I fell from 20-ish feet and was injured. But, you know, I'm grateful and I'm living life and God kept His hand on me and, you know, there was some reckless thing. But here, this is what I want to get to. I'm grateful and applaud the Lord for that. But here's what I want to get to. You know, afterwards, I couldn't do some things physically like I could prior to that date. It wasn't just, Randy, you got old. Okay? It wasn't just I got old. There was a specific date, something happened, and I know from that point, I physically have not been the same, and there's certain things I have not been able to do. Well, how long will I use that for an excuse? There was legitimacy for a while, and still is some limitations, but I can't just go, yeah, you know. So this last week, was the day of reckoning. And, you know, this sounds so weak and feeble and lame just coming out of my mouth because of my history and, you know, athletic background to say, you know, the day of reckoning consisted of this. You are going to put on your sneakers, your sweatpants, a sweatshirt with a hood so no one would recognize me. There was purpose in the hood. And I know you're thinking, yep, he's going to hit the gym. He's going to start pushing iron. He's going to say, oh. No, I just, the day of reckoning started with this. I'm getting up, and I am going for a walk. Woohoo! Yeah. I'm going for a walk. Because I've noticed it's not just my back, but because you don't do as much, or I didn't try to maybe recover physically as quickly as maybe I should have, or, you know, guessing here or there, whatever, it doesn't matter. But, you know, when you're starting to huff and puff just to bend down and pull on your boot, a few of you went, yeah, you know. Or, you know, I used to just stand here, put my foot in and lift it up and just pull it on. Now it's like, yeah, I think I'll sit on step three. Step two is too low to the ground. And step four, I can't really reach to, you know, my boot on the floor. So it, you know, it turns into this. Listen, when did putting on a pair of socks become such a challenge? You get your boot on, you get your other boot on, or tie your shoe or whatever. And, you know, it was like, oh, my back, it's so tight, you know, and oh, my leg, and it, you know. But during this tightness of my back and my leg, there was something that grew in between now that gets in the way. I think they call it your core. And now it's like, do I... You know, what I used to be able to do is this. Now I'm doing. You grab the bottom of your pant leg and pull your foot up over the top of your other knee. Now I can actually touch my toe. And when you're done and you go, okay, that's over, and you stand up and you go, oh, hang on to the banister because I feel a little lightheaded. Now, from far away, you know, I may not look like I'm in that condition. As you approach me closer, you start to realize, yeah, his image isn't what it looked like from far away. And it's not like I'm excessively, you know, over the line, but you'd think I'd be in better condition for the moderate body shape form that I have. And it's like, oh my gosh, I thought it was cold outside. I am hot, I'm sweating, I'm, you know. And, you know, I make a little bit of fun of this, but in everything that I have said, there has been truth to it. Please don't amen me on that. Yeah, I'm in sad shape. So listen. So here it is. Day one. Now, where we live, when you come out our driveway, we're on a bit of a hill. I come out our driveway and it slopes left and right. And when you come out the driveway and you take a left, it slopes quickly to a stop sign that, you know, is only like one, you know, 150 feet or whatever away. And at that stop sign, now, you're at the top, you know, you're still on this ridge. So when you go there, you can't go straight anymore. You have to go left or right again down what we know is General. The road is called General. our road comes out on the top of that knob. So when you go right or left, you start going downhill. If you go right, you go downhill quicker. Left, you go downhill less, and then you rise to another one, and then after that, you start going down all the way to 21. Now, when you're standing on 21 and you're looking ahead, the hill doesn't look large. Well, I came out and started, come out of the driveway doing this, stretching a little bit, like my former past. And I said, when did this start to hurt? I'm not even doing much, I get to the stop sign and I turn right and, I want to walk against traffic. There's not sidewalks, it's a road and a little bit of gravel and shoulder and yards and property. So I'm walking against traffic. Well, I'm going downhill. And as you're walking, you think, hey, downhill's going to be easy. This ain't so bad so far. But as the hill continues to go, I find out that now my legs are trying to resist some of the walking, because you're heading downhill. Pretty soon, I'm walking fast. Pretty soon, I'm doing this. I'm starting to jog. Because all of this got moving downhill. Now, is all of this from my waist up got moving downhill? I'm now running. Because my legs had to try to keep up with where gravity was pulling the top half of my being down this. So I'm running now. I got the hood on, man. And car goes by. Well, when I left, I know Sue's car was warming up, and I knew she would be leaving soon. I didn't think about this in advance. This happened as I'm going down the hill. And I hear a car coming, and I'm thinking, I think this is my wife. And she goes by at a normal speed, and I'm running. And as she gets ahead, I see that it's her car. And I'm thinking, and I'm running, and I'm thinking, okay, keep it up, man, because she's going to look in her side mirror, rearview mirror. She's going to catch the stud coming down the hill. And I'm just, and I mean, I'm moving, okay? And I'm starting to go, my cold weather induced asthma is starting to kick in, And you feel like your stomach is all of a sudden it got bloated. It's distended and like less room for your lungs. And it's like, what, but I'm running because she might be looking in her side mirror and her rear view mirror, and I'm the man. And then I'm to the point where, I'm always, hey, guys, drive the speed limit, be careful. I am like, I wish you would drive faster and get that stop sign and turn the corner. Because I do not, as the hill's starting to now peter out, I'm still trying to keep up the pace. Okay? And I'm thinking, hurry up and turn the corner. I don't want you to see the man stop. Finally, she gets to the stop sign, and I'm thinking, come on, no traffic. Well, certainly, one or two cars got to go by, slows down the whole procedure, so I got to keep, sprinting. It felt like sprinting. And finally, she turned the corner, and the people's property has, a couple pine trees on the corner, and she finally turned past there, and I was like, oh, okay, oh, keep walking, Later in the day, I said, hey, did you even know that was me this morning? She goes, what are you talking about? I said, you drove by me. I was trying to be a stud and run all that, and you didn't even notice me? Come on! What a waste! She goes, oh, you mean running? Yeah, that was it. That was you? I said, yeah, how many people have the bright neon yellow shoes? you know, everything, you know, black sweatshirt and, you know, and I'm come on. And she's like, oh, I didn't know that was you, because when I drove by, I actually remember seeing a person, me, not knowing it was me, and she thought, man, they're running really fast. I mean, we see joggers out here, but that guy is really running. And that's when I had to go into the old explanation of all of this got going downhill. My legs were... Whose fault is that? It's mine. I'd like to blame it on Sue because she bakes good. And she does. But I don't have to eat it. There were days where I said I had to eat it. Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have been full since Thanksgiving. I mean, I get a slight little hunger twinge, and it's like, yeah, I should eat something. You know, because they say the more meals I eat a day, the more I boost my metabolism. The problem is, that's when you eat four or five small meals a day. Every time I sit down, I mean, it's like, well, I eat like it's Thanksgiving. It's my fault. The condition I'm in. Spiritually, it's my fault. The condition I'm in. Jesus says, come and drink, and rivers, living water, will flow from you. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 1, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, you can come as if you're going to buy all you want and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Here it is. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Listen, he's not talking about natural things. The Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah and saying, listen, stop drinking and eating things for your soul that are counterfeit. You might come to church and say, you know, I'm not real thirsty. Do you ever try to give a glass of water to somebody who just isn't thirsty? It's not that they're satisfied, it's just that they're not thirsty. There's a difference. And we can fill our lives chasing and doing other things that don't bring satisfaction. And so we come to church full of this other stuff. Because we've been drinking and eating the counterfeit stuff of life. Whose fault is that? It's not God's fault. It's my fault. Your fault. When are we going to start to drink and eat what the soul needs? And the need becomes the want. And therefore, we don't drink and eat of the counterfeits anymore. Listen, day two came. I hated day one walking last week. Day two came. I didn't like it anymore. And when I came to the top of that hill to go right or left, I went left. Day two. I thought, I'm not coming up the steep part of this hill on the way back. I'm not going to be getting into a sprint again. So I went left. I went further. And the further you go down General heading east, and you get down to the cattle farm before 21, and you turn around and come back, you see that it rises. And halfway up that, I thought, would it be easier to go steeper, shorter, or continue the grind of slowly going up the incline of this road to the top? And after I was all done, I said, it doesn't matter, they both stink. There is no good option. I have to, with God's help, endeavor to continue to do things to be healthy. I got to do the right things. For you and I to be spiritually satisfied and fulfilled, that rivers of living water would actually come out from us, then we need to be drinking from the wellspring of life. We need to be drinking in the Spirit of God and who Christ is and who the Father is. Why are we spending our time doing other things looking to be satisfied? We find out, there were indications along the way of my physical condition that was my fault. As far as, breathing and being overweight or whatever it is. Losing muscle tone, all that stuff. My fault. But sometimes you don't know how bad you're getting until you have to do something. And sometimes in our spiritual life, we don't realize how slack and undisciplined we have been until our faith has to be exercised. And we realize, I didn't have the faith. I didn't have the hope. I didn't have the endurance. I didn't pray as long. I didn't read the Word as long. I didn't pray with as much faith in Christ as I should. And all of a sudden, the demand pulls this awareness out of you that says, this is the condition I'm in. And I can't just say, oh God, come and rescue me. And I can't just say, well God, it's all up to you anyhow. Or, well, you anoint or whatever. That's like me just continuing not to walk or run or push weight around or do any of those things and say, well, if God wanted me to physically be different, He would do it. There are things that are God's responsibility, but there are things that are responsible, that you and I are responsible for. And I want you to tell you, if you're not thirsty and you're not drinking, that's not God's fault. Do I want Him to move upon my life to create a thirst and bring an awareness? Yes. But from that point, I need His help and I need to exercise discipline in my spiritual life to thrive and to grow and to have the rivers of living water flow out of me. I've got to be drinking. I've got to be drinking and kneeling at His feet. I've got to be in His Word. I've got to be doing things that are right according to His Word. I have to develop this relationship with Him. It's not just the do's and don'ts. It's being with Him and drinking of Him that it flows out of our life. No conference is going to solve that. The conference is on the weekend. It has a lot to do with how I'm going to live on Monday or Tuesday. And the rest of the week. Look, he goes on. Now, I want to do this. Luke 11. I want to quickly turn here. Luke 11, verse 6 through 8. Verse 5, let's do that. And Jesus said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at night and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to put before him. And he will answer from within his house, and he will say, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I don't feel thirsty today, Lord. I just don't feel thirsty to read your word. I just don't feel thirsty to pray. You know, I love you and I'm grateful, but I just don't thirst. Listen, drink. The discipline of drinking, the discipline of reading or listening to his word, the discipline of being with him, the discipline of taking a walk with him, the discipline of stopping in the middle of your day and dropping somewhere in private to your knees and talking with him. Not just running to him when we feel motivated by some desperate, tragic need. The discipline of thirsting. The discipline of drinking when we don't feel thirsty. Well, I tried that for a few days. I don't know if God's hearing me. I don't notice any difference. Be persistent. Be persistent. I had my alarm set for early this morning because I was going to go for my walk. My walk run. My, you know, pass out endeavor. But there was a pipe in the basement that had sprung a leak in the water line on a joint. And I thought, oh, no. Sunday morning, now I got to deal with this. And of course, you can't get a plumber, and I don't have the stuff here. I'd have to go, you know, and so I got to get this so it drips in the same spot instead of spraying all over. You kind of bind it to get it to drip in the same spot so you got the bucket till I can deal with it. And no, I know to turn the water off. I couldn't because, you know, there are people in my house. We need the water to be on for a while. So I thought, oh, I got to deal with this. And then I thought, hey, you don't have to go for your walk. How our flesh changes from, stupid old pipe to, oh, you beautiful old broken pipe. Things will come up. But I know what I have to do after church today. Got to go for that stupid walk jog thing. Oh, I don't have to. I can choose to decline. I can choose to find everything, labor in my breathing every time I do something small. My spirit, things are going to come up. Things are going to happen. I want it to be to the point where there's a grieving in my soul when I got to change it because something comes up and I've got to catch up with it later. I'm going to have to read and study a little bit later. I got to still make sure it gets done. It would be so easy for me today to justify. Hey, man, you got the broken pipe. You had church. You know, you got to go out late afternoon. You got to go pick up the food. You got to bring it back early for the dinner. You got to have the dinner. You got the business meeting. Listen, don't worry. Don't do your walk jog today. It's just a busy day, and you don't worry about it. I'm just telling you, that ain't great counsel for my physical being, and it certainly isn't great counsel if that's the reason and logic we begin to use when our spiritual life and our time with him and drinking of him is interrupted. Because it puts us in the condition that we are in. Look at verse 9. It says this. And I tell you, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be open to you. And it's not just ask and you know, seek and, you know, knock. It's not. It's in the context of persistence. It's in the same passage here. In other words, keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep motivating. Keep being disciplined. Continue to do this. Continue to know Him. Continue to be with Him. Drink when you're not thirsty. Let me tell you, it is a challenge for me. One, because I really don't crave water. I know a lot of you drink water. That's all you drink. I'm happy for you. I don't drink a lot of soda. But, you know, sweet tea, coffee, you know, water is, I'm grateful for it. I know I should be happier about it. If I was ever without it, I would crave it. But I don't drink enough water. So I got to start to drink more water. I don't feel like drinking water. I don't know that I'm that thirsty. I'm going to have to drink when I'm not thirsty. In my spiritual life, it's I can't wait for a hunger. I've got to start to do this. Come and drink. Come and thirst. Drink like you're thirsty. I don't really get much out of church on Sunday morning. I know there's some variables in that. I know that it has something to do with the person who's preaching or maybe the worship team or whatever, but it has a lot to do with us who come to church and what is our mindset and attitude for the day. I mean, what might happen if we said, you know, I need to come thirsty and hungry and I need to pray more. So you know what? I'm going to start showing up at 9 o'clock and I'm going to go in the sanctuary. I'm going to start praying. I'm just going to start praying. I mean, what happened if this place was filled with all of us at 9 o'clock and kids running around and making a noise, but we were all in here just kind of praying? And then we just start church at 9:30. Start service. What if, and we can come up with all kinds of scenarios. What if I got up 10 minutes earlier? What if I took a break in the afternoon and spent, you know, 20 minutes doing this? And what if I, you know, and you can, we can come up with all kinds of scenarios. It's cultivating the thirst. It's cultivating the hunger. Last part of this in chapter 11 here in the same passage. Now it starts with verse 11. It says, "What father's among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I mean, he talks about this. You go to a neighbor, you have friends, you have a relationship, but he won't get out of bed. You have to be persistent. It's like, all right, just to shut you up, I'll get out of bed and give you something. Now leave me alone. And we think, whoa, well, that's God in the picture. And so if we keep pestering God, even though he doesn't really want to help us, we'll finally get tired of us, and then he'll give us what we want. No, no. What he's saying is, though they have friendship, and even though fathers who are evil know how to do good things for their children, it's all in the context of how much more will our Father in heaven respond to us because he's perfect. He's the perfect friend next door. It's not like he's on the other side of the door teasing us, going, "No, you need to knock a little harder. No, I'm kind of busy. Knock some more. Well, I don't know. Your knocking doesn't sound like it's really diligent. It's kind of a half-hearted knock. And, seeking me, you know." Listen, he is ready to respond. He is ready to have relationship. He is ready to answer. He is ready to walk with us. He's ready to show us himself. He's ready to show us some things. And, yeah, sometimes what we ask, we don't get what we ask because we have ill motive, and it talks about that in the book of James. But I'm telling you, we have to come and thirst. You want rivers of living water to flow from you? You want rivers of living water to flow from you in the marketplace and when you're out with people? Listen, you don't know the conversations you're going to have at any given moment with people when you're living life. So how do you prepare for that? You prepare by drinking of who he is when you are with him and when you set time for him and the way you live your life. And when those moments come up with other people, it's not like you could prepare and study. It's that this water that you have been drinking of the Lord begins to flow out of your life like a river to those people because you've been drinking. The condition of your spiritual life, good, bad, indifferent, poor, whatever it is, you can use all the reasons. I can use all the reasons. I can use all the excuses I want. But at the end of the day, it is the choices I've made and the disciplines I've exercised or not exercised in my life. And I'm telling you, come and drink. Isaiah 55, a couple verses and we're done. Isaiah 55 goes on, and it's all off this drinking. Verse 3, the Lord says, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David in that context, okay? Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader, a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Why? Because you go to verse 1, they came and they drank and they ate. And behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you and he has shown up, he has blessed you, he is a river flowing out from you because you have you've been drinking of the Lord, okay? And now this river of life flows from you, and people will see it, sense it, know it. Some will despise it, some will hate it, some won't understand it, some will be curious about it, but somewhere along the line, they will come because of how you have been and because you have been drinking of the Lord, and that river of life comes out, and they are thirsty. They've been filling their life with counterfeits, but they can find an answer because you and I were disciplined in our private life and in our public life to drink of the Lord and allow the river to flow from us and bring life to others. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man, forsake his thoughts, his way of thinking. You and I, forsake our thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but to water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, it's fruitful. So shall my word be that that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. I shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy. You'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, what will come up is a cypress. Instead of a briar, a myrtle tree. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be snuffed out or put out. That is our life if we will drink. If we will drink of the Lord. Come if you're thirsty. Come, buy. Have all that you want. And Jesus said in John 7, you're thirsty, come and drink of me, believe in me, and you shall have a river of life flow from your very person. It's not hypothetical. It's not waxing philosophical. This is a reality of who he is, who he is to be in us, and who he is to be out, flowing out of us to those around us. And the kind of life and contentment we have. Because whether we have trial or not, we understand we're blessed. Whether our circumstance or situation is rough or easy, or they go back and forth, doesn't have any bearing. Might affect my mood a little bit, but I'm not wrapped up in it. Because we've got our bearing set by because we've been drinking from him and a river of life flows out from us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.